This episode is dedicated to my grandmother, who passed away today, Friday, the 5th of June, 2020. Belle, rest in power. We love you. This is King Karis, the Black History Buff, and in this episode, we'll be visiting an ancient African folktale that tells us why fire and rain are enemies. Before I go any further, first, I want to say a big thank you to my subscribers on Patreon for making this episode possible. Now, a while back, I think it was episode 16, I told an African folktale about a man named Mahmoud. The episode was titled The Man Who Never Lied, and if you've not listened to it, please go and check it out. I really enjoyed making that episode, and my son loved it. It's his favourite. Now, I'm not sure what's going on in the world at the time you're listening to this, but in my timeline, the whole world is on some form of lockdown due to the virus known as COVID-19. The kids are off school, and those parents who can are working from home, and some of us, if we're honest, with all this unbroken time together, are going a bit nuts. So mostly, just to shut up my own house for a minute, I've decided to tell another short African folktale. If you're at home, grab the kids, gather everybody close round to listen to the story of why fire and rain are enemies. Once upon a time, there was a chief who had a beautiful daughter. Yes, yes, yes. I know starting the story of Once Upon a Time is corny, but it's a folktale, so deal with it. Alright, I'll start again. Once upon a time, there was a chief who had a beautiful daughter. She had dark brown skin, a smile that rivaled the sun in its brightness, and her hair twisted into an immaculate crown of bantu nuts made sure that she looked every bit the princess at all times. Her name was Bedemi. All the young men in the village wanted to marry her, but the chief, being the protective father that all chiefs are, thought, "These fool boys are not good enough for my daughter." And so turned away all the young men in the village, then all the middle-aged men in the village, and one really old man who also happened to be the village idiot. Now, from afar, fire and rain had also seen the princess. They'd seen her beautiful skin, her radiant smile, and her glorious crown of hair, and they wanted to marry her too. Now look, don't ask me why fire and rain, two elements, wanted to marry the chief's daughter, but work with me here. Like I said before, it's a folktale, and folktales can sometimes, they just get a bit weird. So up in the sky, after putting on his finest outfit and plucking up some courage, rain descended to the earth and coolly danced his way up to the chief's daughter. He looked her lovingly in the eyes and said, "Will you marry me, O beautiful daughter of the chief?" Bedemi screwed up her face, looked Rain up and down and said, "Will you keep me cool on hot days?" "Always," said Rain. "I will be your cool drink on a hot day, always." Bedemi said. "And will you turn yourself into a mist so I can have spa days?" "Yes, my love. You can have as many spa days as you can handle," said Rain. "Well, in that case, yes, 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 I will," scored Bedemi. At the same time as Rain was speaking to the chief's daughter, fire was approaching the chief. Fire drew himself up to his full height as he approached, which was pretty high. Took some breath mints, because let's be honest, we know that fire's breath must stink, right? And roared at the chief.
"I want to marry your daughter. Will you give her to me for my wife?" Smoke puffed out of his nostrils and the small flames that were his eyes glowed a little bit brighter as he spoke.
"Will you make sure she always has cooked food?" asked the chief.
"The food will be end, roared Fire.
I see, the chief squealed weakly. And will you keep her safe at night? Asked the chief.
Anyone who comes near her will be burned, Fire roared again.
Sweat poured from the chief's face. And if I said no, he said gingerly,
then you will be burned.
I know, burned. I think I get it now, mewed the chief. The chief looked up at the enormous lick of talking flame with its stinky breath and glowing eyes, thought for a moment, and weakly said, well, in that case, welcome to the family, Mr. Fire, sir. After taking a moment to calm down, the shell-shocked chief sent for his daughter. He looked at her and thought, my gosh, she's beautiful, so much like her mother. Oh, I pray she finds it in her heart to forgive me. Look, I've got something to tell you, the chief said, swallowing hard, sweat still sticking to his skin from his heated encounter with Fire. You're going to marry Fire, said the chief. I'm going to marry Rain, said Bademi at the same time. What? They both exclaimed. You disobedient child. How dare you go and get married behind my back? Said the chief. Wait, daddy. How could you palm me off with that stink breath demon Fire? I know. I'm sorry, honey. Do you forgive me? What shall we do? Cried the chief. You can't marry both Fire and Rain. It's okay, daddy. I got this. Leave it with me, said Bademi, and she left to go and speak with her new love, Rain. The next day, Fire and Rain came to meet the chief and his daughter. Tomorrow will be the day of my marriage, said Bademi.
To me?
Asked Fire. To me? Asked Rain. To the winner of a race. To him, and only him, I will give my hand in marriage, she said. Fire and Rain turned and looked at each other. Flame shot from Fire's nose, while Rain smiled knowingly and covered his face because, man, Fire's breath did not smell good at all. On the day of the race, the town was heaving. People from miles around come to see the epic showdown between Fire and Rain. I think that Fire's a shoo-in to win, said some. Others said, nah, Rain will outrun him for sure. But no matter which side people fell on, everybody agreed that Fire's breath stank. As race time drew near, the drummers began to beat the djembe drums. Dom, dom, dom. The crowd parted as Fire and Rain entered the clearing where the race was due to begin. A few slow movers didn't part quite quickly enough for Fire and got more than a little bit toasted. Kind water quickly put them out. The drums continued to build as the chief and his daughter entered the clearing. Today, people, the chief announced when he reached the center, is the day when one of these fine competitors will win my daughter's hand in marriage. On the left, we have Fire. Fire leapt up into the sky, spun round, black smoke was billowing from his nostrils and sparks showered the ground. Ooh, said the crowd at first. And then, ew, as they smelt his breath. Oh. And on the right, we have Rain. Rain casually waved at the crowd, lightly splashing a few people at the front. The chief looked at Rain. Wait, is that it? No downpour of water, no powerful storm, nothing? You're just going to stand there, chilling next to the giant fire demon. Okay, I see you. The chief slapped his forehead with the palm of his hand and continued. These two thingies.
Elements.
Someone shouted out. Yes, thank you. Elements will race towards the Boab tree over yonder. Whoever gets there first will become my son-in-law and marry my daughter. The chief looked at fire, then rain, then the tree, took a deep breath and cried out, "Let the race begin!" Fire leapt into the sky in spectacular fashion, sparks showering everywhere once again, and when he came back down, began blazing up a path towards the tree. The ground was dry from a lack of rain, and so fire moved swiftly. Rain just stood there, looking at his fingernails. "Aren't you going to do something?" yelled the chief. Rain yawned. Fire was tearing up the track now. He'd noticed that wind was there and managed to get in front of him.
"This will teach them never to laugh at my breath again," he muttered to himself, and with the wind behind him, he now moved even faster.
Rain looked at fire streaking away and yawned again.
"Do something!" screamed the chief.
"My daughter is going to be burned to a crisp, man. Please get going."
Rain looked up and could see fire nearing the tree. He leaned over to the chief's daughter, gave her a sweet, gentle kiss, and leapt into the air, and then vanished. The crowd went quiet. "Ooh, where did he go?" thought the people. Then the sky suddenly grew dark as clouds covered the area. Thunder rang out and lightning struck the ground. The chief's daughter looked up at the sky and smiled as the first drop of rain hit her delicately on the forehead. "My love," she said as she smiled her radiant smile.
"Psst," went fire as the first drop hit him. "No!"
he screamed as the heavens opened and rain poured down, putting out the fire, ending the race.
"Yay!" the people cried out, quickly followed by "Ew!" as the smoke from fire's breath hit their nostrils.
Fire had been defeated and rain had won the race. So the very relieved chief gave his daughter's hand in marriage to rain, and ever since that day, fire and rain have been enemies. So I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to give my take on this story. And I preface this by saying African folktales have an amazing sense of humor just laced through them. Some of these stories have deep, profound messages, and others, they're just funny. When I first read this story, I thought it was a funny one that I could just casually share. And yeah, I did a few edits and tweaked it up a bit. But after recent events, I reflected on it. And now my thoughts are that in this story, the fire represents the troubles in our lives. We have these goals, these targets, these things we want to do. And as we make the decision to go after them, here comes the fire, wanting to consume the exact same thing. So what do we do when this happens? Do we run away? No. We sit back, plan, and then execute just like the rain did. He let the fire rage and show itself, and at the right time sprung into action and put the whole thing out at once, ending its plans forever. I think this story also shows us that no matter what we're going through, when our plans seem like they're about to go up in smoke, literally in this case, that sometimes the rain will come, often right at the last minute, and save the day. Sometimes we need that rain, and other times we are that rain that someone else needs. We all have a fire somewhere that needs to be put out. And right now, at the time of this recording, protests are flaring up all over the world, sparked by the killing of George Floyd. Fires of injustice are literally burning across the world right now, particularly in America. The actions of the police should shock and outrage every human being. Now is not the time to be a bystander. Now's the time to spring into action and douse the flames of injustice everywhere and every time you see them. I recently came across an Alice Walker quote that sums this up for me. Activism is the rent I pay for living on this planet. It's not good enough to not participate in injustice. It is the responsibility of everybody who would want to be called a good person to actively work against it. So if you're listening to this and you're seeing things that don't look right in the world, you're seeing injustice, act. Do something. Write a letter. Donate some money. Protest. Vote. Join the census. Check on your black friend. Check your white friend. You know who they are. Check yourself and do something to douse some of those flames. And then this is the hard part. This is the part people forget. Keep doing it. If a fire is not put out properly, what happens? It comes back. So we need to be relentless in our activism and our doing of good. Relentless in our pursuit of justice. And we must not stop until the flames of injustice have been put out forever. That's it for today's show. And thank you once again to my Patreons for helping to make this episode possible. Your contributions keep this show on the road, and I really couldn't, and I don't think I would want to, do this without you. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to show your support, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com and searching for Black History Buff. There you'll find tons of bonus content, all accessible for free, no paywalls. Take a moment to check it out. You'll be really glad you did.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic, but today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, and with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.